Penguin Random House Audio presents Believer, My 40 Years in Politics. This is the author, David Axelrod. For Susan, Lauren, Michael, and Ethan, whose love and sacrifice made all things possible. The future is not a gift, it is an achievement. Robert F. Kennedy. Introduction. Not everyone can point to a moment, the exact time and place, when a lifelong passion began. I can. It was 1960, 12 days before the presidential election. John F. Kennedy, locked in a dead-even race with Richard Nixon, was barnstorming the neighborhoods of New York City, and on the afternoon of October 27th, he came to mine. Stuyvesant Town, a forest of red brick high-rises on Manhattan's Lower East Side, was built after World War II to house the flood of returning GIs and their families. Now, in the final frantic days of his campaign, Kennedy had come there to summon a new generation of leadership. I was no doubt a little newer than he had in mind. I was 5. An inspiring woman named Jessie Berry, who all but raised me while my mother was at work, took me to see JFK that day. Jessie, an African-American, had come to New York from South Carolina as a young woman during the Great Migration. She had spent her days taking care of other people's kids, scraping together what she could to help support her own 2 daughters. Yet she was determined that the future be better, if not for her, then for her children and grandchildren. Maybe that's why she took me to see this promising young leader, a Catholic, whose election would break down a historic barrier. Maybe she saw in him hope for the future. Looking back, I see that she might also have viewed the outing as a way to occupy her maddeningly hyperactive little charge. So when Jessie heard that Kennedy was coming to Stuyvesant Town and would be just 2 blocks from my family's apartment at 622 East 20th Street, she took me by the hand and we headed to the rally. There she sat me on top of a mailbox to give me a better view. From that perch, I watched in awe as 20th Street, at that section a wide boulevard, filled up with people instead of the usual ceaseless parade of cars. Near the front of the crowd, close enough to shake hands with a candidate, I spotted my sister Joan and her friends heading home from the junior high across First Avenue. I wasn't the only young kid in the crowd. Stuyvesant Town and the adjoining Peter Cooper Village were built and designed for young families, with a network of playgrounds on green, tree-lined campuses. So when JFK came, many mothers turned out, babies in tow, eager to catch a glimpse of the dashing young senator. It was, as the advanced people who planned such rallies say, a built-in audience. They listened in rapt attention as he delivered his call to action. It was just 15 years after the end of World War II. Every adult there had endured that ordeal, and before it, the Great Depression. Now a Cold War hovered over their everyday lives, carrying with it the threat of nuclear annihilation. They had played a role in saving the nation and were accustomed to sacrifice, not the pain-free pablum that would become the coin of the realm of future political campaigns. So Kennedy, himself a war hero, didn't come bearing lavish promises. In a harbinger of the inaugural address he would deliver 3 months later, he came with a challenge. I don't run on the presidential program of saying that, if I am elected, life will be easy, Kennedy declared, his voice booming off the surrounding high-rise buildings. I think to be a citizen of the United States in the 1960s is a hazardous occupation, but it is also one that offers challenge and hope, and I believe the choice lies with you on November 8th. Whether I am the candidate for the presidency or president or stay in the Senate, I regard our obligation not to please you, but to serve you. And in my judgment, in 1960, a candidate for the presidency should be willing to give the truth to the people. And the truth is that what we are now doing is not good enough. I was too young to understand the full meaning of his speech or the magnitude of the moment. I recovered his words only years later from one of those online archives no one back then could have imagined. I might not have understood exactly why the crowd cheered when it did, or that Kennedy was desperately seeking votes.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?